A 29-year law enforcement veteran who's served as a uniformed police officer, SWAT officer, detective, and a U.S. Marshal specializing in dignitary protection, New York Times bestselling author Mark Cameron brings his own deep knowledge and well of resources within the U.S. government and intelligence community as he joins the family of Clancy co-authors and collaborators with Tom Clancy, Power and Empire, a Jack Ryan novel. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, thanks, Terry. Great to be here.
So, since Tom Clancy's death in October of 2013, there have been 7 novels in the Jack Ryan series written by former collaborators Mark Greaney and Grant Blackwood. Now they pass the torch on to you and Mike Madden. What has that been like writing for such an iconic character?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's pretty terrifying at first, but it's been great fun. I think Mark Greaney recommended me to, after we were friends, and he recommended my writing to Tom Cogan at Putnam. So when they finally, you know, when they called and offered me the position, it came out of the blue. Even Mark and I are friends, but he never mentioned that he was doing this. And so it really came out of the blue, and it's pretty stunning to find something like that out, because I have been a Clancy fan for years, since The Hunt for Red October came out.
Yeah.
I was a fan, and so it was pretty daunting to think about trying to carry on with these iconic characters, these larger-than-life characters like Jack Ryan and John Clark and Dean Chavez and those.
Well, with you, as mentioned, you have 29 years in various law enforcement roles. What parts of that background helped you the most in writing Power and Empire?
I think on the technical side of things, I think, you know, knowing about surveillance and sitting in a car surveillance and rolling surveillance and what it's really like to follow people and the technical aspects that have grown over the years. I mean, it's changed a lot since I began in 1984 until now, and continues to change. But being able to maybe inject some of the technical reality into what surveillance people, you know, what people that are standing or sitting surveillance have to do, or what it takes to actually follow someone, how many people it takes to follow someone undetected and that sort of thing. But I think more than anything, more than even the technical side of things, is the character aspects. I've been able to work with so many just heroic men and women over the years in law enforcement and then our interactions with the military has been invaluable. And then on the flip side of that, the bad guys, you know, tracking and investigating and hunting fugitives with the Marshal Service, and then just dealing with the day-to-day criminal element on patrol and as a detective, really helped me flesh out some characters, and I draw from those interactions all the time. I knew I wanted to be a writer back when I was very young, and so during my whole law enforcement career, I kept a lot of character notes and observed just put a lot of... I would never say I based any one character off any one bad guy or good guy, but I certainly draw from experience and traits that I saw.
And I imagine, yeah, after 29 years, you have a lot. Do you ever miss that part of it?
Oh, every day.
Do you?
Every day.
Really?
Yeah, frankly would still be doing it if I wasn't writing. I feel like being a novelist is the second best job in the world, but
yeah,
being a Deputy United States Marshal was just incredible. It was an incredible career. Just the people you get to meet, and our youngest son is in law enforcement now. Our oldest son was a special agent with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations for a number of years, so we're kind of a Blue Bloods family anyway, and it's just it's a calling, and to meet people
yes.
that are in a job that's a calling is quite an honor to serve with folks like that.
Yeah, and I definitely feel that way. It's amazing, and when I was reading, there's the subplot in Power and Empire that deals with crimes against children, and I'm reading that and I'm thinking, really? Does that happen? And then obviously it must, and thankfully it's not within my bubble. But how
yes,
do you,
thankfully.
Yeah, how do
sadly,
you... Yeah, go
well,
on.
Well, I was going to say, sadly, I toned that back. It
wow.
happens a lot. And the statistics I quote in there are real, but we don't... It happens right in front of us, but under our noses. And part of that program that I talk about that was developed by the Texas Department of Public Safety and a captain there now named Derek Prestridge, who really pushed and pioneered this interdiction for the protection of children, and now they're taking it all over the country and all over the world. He helped me a lot during this book to sort of give me some more insight into that. But that's really what you just said is the crux of his program. It's going on under our noses, but we have to know how to recognize it. So he teaches police officers and law enforcement around the United States how to recognize it when they, how to recognize trafficked human beings when they talk to violators for other things. And it's really made a difference because it is really, it's quite pervasive now.
And how do you go home? How do you, you know, it's, you think about some of this stuff and quite frankly, you think, how can, I know you're professionals, but how do you not lose it and want to go crazy on these people and then go home, you know?
Well, that's a really good question. And I think there's a line in the book that I probably stole it from someone else, you know, that I heard in the business, where one of the characters, the FBI agent, Kelsey Callahan, says, you know, frankly, I feel guilty that I'm standing here talking to you when I should be out trying to save a kid. And so once you know that there's this many people out there being trafficked, then you are overcome with guilt if you're not careful, because you're not doing this 24/7. And that's the kind of feeling that I wanted to imbue in the book, and the kind of feeling that I get. And that's why I think when we see people working on these ICACs, these Internet Crimes Against Children Task Forces, and the Crimes Against Children Task Forces, and they have to rotate out, because it is it's a calling, but it certainly is, it takes something from you.
And,
it truly is a service to get out there and help these folks and try to find these kids. And it's not just kids. There's adults being trafficked as well. So I don't want to sound maudlin or paint, you know, it's all gloom and doom, but it is a real problem, and it's good that we face it. And for me, being out of law enforcement, one of the things I feel like I can do is include the program as a important part of a book, and not shoehorn it in where it doesn't fit, but showcase it a little bit and let people know.
I think that's a really important piece to that, and you have this huge audience that you can make aware of these things, and perhaps from that you never know what will happen.
Sure.
We're talking with Mark Cameron. He is the newly appointed Tom Clancy Jack Ryan novelist with Power and Empire. And the internal struggle for power in the Chinese government leaves U.S. President Jack Ryan with only a few desperate options. Tom Clancy was pretty well known for his uncanny ability to foresee those trouble spots. Do you have that same ability? Should we be looking at that?
I don't think I have near the ability that Tom Clancy did. I think he just had a knack for seeing around corners and being able to play this what if game where he predicted things that came to be pretty close to the way he wrote them, both with technology and politics. And you know, that happens periodically with what I write, and certainly it did with what Mark Graney wrote in his Clancy novels, and with Crimea and, you know, Russia and that sort of thing. But I'm not trying to rip something from the headlines, but what I do want with this book in particular is to make it real and to look at the whatever it is, China or Russia or whatever, to make the politics in this universe seem real, in the Jack Ryan universe, and to make Jack Ryan the same Jack Ryan that Tom Clancy conceived and built into the iconic character that he is, as the same with John Clark and Dean Chavez and the others. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. We'll just see, but I certainly hope not.
Yeah, me too.
I hope it seems real, but I hope it's not real.
Exactly. And I have to say, it is riveting, and I'm thinking, oh man, I am not going to get this book finished before I talk to Mark. But it is definitely a riveting, wonderful showcase to Jack Ryan. You have taken the reins over very well. I have to ask you, what is your writing process like? Is it important for you to visit those locations? Tell us about your research and how you lay out plots.
You know, I plot pretty extensively. I'm a plotter, not a pantser. I like to give it, I write a synopsis and then flesh out that synopsis. And then I may wander back and forth a dozen, 100 times from my original plot and outline as I kind of write and rewrite and that sort of thing. But and also, that's one of the benefits of travel, is that when you go to a place with an idea and a plot in mind and questions in mind, people I want to interview and research and whatnot, mm-hmm. and some avenues that I want to go down just don't pan out. They don't work the way I wanted them to work out. But along the way, you find these great little gems of geographic and cultural truth that I just didn't know existed. And for instance, the proximity of the Recoleta Cemetery to the Villa 31, the slum in this huge slum in Buenos Aires that's just within, I mean, the people that live in this terrible slum, just ramshackle buildings, can smell the empanadas cooking in this upscale Recoleta neighborhood. It's really literally just some train tracks that separate them. And I wouldn't have known that. So in this labyrinth of crypts for the Recoleta Cemetery and the walls around it and the churches and underground tunnels, it just makes for such a great venue for foot chases and intrigue. And I had no idea. I mean, I looked on a map and saw Recoleta Cemetery, and that's a cool place, mm-hmm. but I had no idea about all the other things around it until I set foot, took my bones to the place.
Yeah. How unfortunate you get to travel like that. I'm teasing.
Yeah, that's
I did, I peeked on your Facebook page and took a look at some of the video you have. I think it's up of you're doing jujitsu with plotting a Jericho Quinn thing. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, this guy is thorough.
Yeah, it's one of my good friends. He's been my jujitsu instructor for years and years, Ty Cunningham, and he walks me through. When I come up with an idea, I'll say, hey, Ty, what do you think about this? And he'll say, well, think about that. And a lot of times we'll stop and go. I'll visit him a couple of times a year, and we'll sort of do stop action, just basically choreograph things so that I can visualize them. And I come across quite sore. I come out of those things very sore after that. But they're great. They're informative and great fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, one last question, and that sure. is, what is next for Jack Ryan?
Well, I can't give you any of the plot details yet, but I'm finishing up a Jericho Quinn book right now in the next couple of weeks, and then I will jump right into the next book in the Jack Ryan universe, and we'll have some plot details coming out shortly.
All right. There
will be another one.
Mark Cameron, thank you so much for your time. And I do want to, you have a website as well. Will you share that with the folks?
Sure. It's just Mark with a C, markcameronbooks.com.
All right. And I'll have all of that information posted when after the program airs. And thanks again. I hope I get a chance to speak with you again. And I also want to say, on a personal level, thank you for your service.
Oh, thanks, Terry. I really appreciate that. And it was a great interview.
All right. Take care.